This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Our next guest is the wonderful Kathy Eccles. Kathy Eccles came out, just, can I use that language? Came out as a trans person towards the end of last year, and is here to actually explore and talk to us about her experience with coming out. For those who don't know Kathy, I met Kathy in a previous life. I'm allowed to say that, aren't I?
You are.
And when we had a little catch-up yesterday, I actually admitted to Kathy that I thought Kathy back then was a bit hot, actually. Am I allowed to say that, Kathy?
Of course.
Kathy is the founder and a shareholder and now a non-executive director with a major aged care service provider in Australia, Blue Cross.
That's right.
An independent business person in your own right, very successful at what you do, and made the choice to come out recently.
I did.
Tell us about the journey. Tell us about that experience.
Well, it was quite a big experience, obviously. It was life-changing, and I'm very glad that I did it.
How do you feel now that you've come out?
Oh, absolutely wonderful. Yeah, very relaxed and very happy. And part of me says I should have done it years ago, but, you know, that's hindsight trading, and your life is what your life is.
Yeah, and you can't regret the past, really, can you?
No.
Celebrate where you're at and celebrate the future is my view about this.
Kathy, can you tell us a little bit about family and how it all went down, and friends and...
Sure. Yeah. In the main, it went really well. My coming out went over several years, and... the first person to come out with was myself, which was probably the hardest one.
And did you get some help with that?
Well, it took a lifetime, really, or half a lifetime. And, I did get some help, thank heavens. Yeah. I don't think I could have done it without the help.
Yeah.
But in the main, my friends and my family and my colleagues took it very well. You know, they were shocked and it was unexpected. I was really quite securely closeted and... it's taken some of them a bit of time to get used to it. And for those that have known me the longest, you know, it's like direct family, it takes some time to get the hang of a new name and a new pronoun. But they really are getting there. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So amongst your friends, and it wouldn't always be like that, would it? So, as easy with family and friends... It can be very tough.
Look, the only one that's been tough is my children. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. I've got a 17-year-old boy and a 15-year-old girl, and they're wonderful, but they didn't see this coming, and that was a real shock. And they haven't been able to come to grips with it, and I haven't seen them since last year.
Oh, that's very sad.
Yeah. So that's the one that really hurts the most.
Yeah, I bet that hurts, yeah.
What was your experience like at work?
Oh, at work it was wonderful. I'm pretty fortunate. I'm very fortunate in that because of my position, it's a bit hard to get upset at the boss. You know, I can't really be sacked.
You are the boss, aren't you?
Well, I'm not the boss, but, you know, look, I'm one of the bosses, if you like. And it's pretty hard to get upset at somebody who's giving you a job effectively. So I'm very fortunate there. But in addition, we'd done some work over the years within our organisation, some diversity training. So many of the people that I associate with are familiar with GLBTI issues, and that was, you know, very helpful to be in an organisation that has got that awareness.
So you've been able to not only... come out at work, but also you've taken some leadership around helping your organisation to embrace diversity as well, haven't you?
As much leadership as I could take, because prior to coming out, I could only do so much without getting a kick under the table from my brother telling me to, you know, shut up if you don't want to out yourself. So your brother knew that? Yeah, I came out to my brother several years ago.
And so when you took the organisation on this journey, what did you do?
Well, I didn't start it. There are others within the organisation that started it. Mm-hmm. And I just helped push it along as best I could. That's mm-hmm. really what I did. And then once I came out, I could take a more active role. And for example, a colleague of mine, we went to the World 2017 World Out Games Human Rights Conference in Miami earlier in the year and presented our diversity program there.
Kathy, have you had the chance to get other businesses to do this? Do you sort of have a network in aged care service or even in other businesses?
No, I haven't as yet. It's still really early days for me. And I've had a pretty busy 9 months since I came out, moving house and some travelling. I'd like to.
I mean, I've been pretty impressed with the Business Council and that group of corporates that have supported, you know, marriage equality. I think that's been very strong. And just sort of thinking of all the other industry groups that haven't joined in.
I haven't had any direct role there myself. Yeah. Really just finding my feet still.
I've just had some lovely feedback from one of our listeners, so they're very much enjoying listening to what you have to say morning. So thank you for sharing your story. So part of the reason why you were keen to actually come onto our show, apart from me asking you, of course, we've, of course, been doing these stories, in-depth stories with people. We did one with a trans man just recently. Loz Visser came in and sat in this studio and talked about his experience. Now, I've known Loz since I was 18, and so, you know, as much as Loz having to transition, I've had to transition as well, because it's taken a fair bit of adjustment for myself to learn to relate to Loz as a male, as a trans male, and to learn to actually use a new set of pronouns. And I constantly slip with Loz. And I hate myself for doing it, but it's been a lifetime of adjustment that I now have to deal with. Mm-hmm. Thank you for being open to sharing your story as well, because I think it can be very inspirational for our listeners as well.
Can I ask about your relationship? Where did you first meet, and how old were you?
What would it be?
At what bar did you meet?
wasn't a bar.
My sister-in-law was partners with Taz's brother. And so that's how we met.
That's correct. Mm. So we attended family events and dinner parties, and my partner Ian was part of that as well. And so we'd met Kathy in a very different framework. Mm. Yeah.
And you didn't recognise me when we did finally catch up earlier in the year.
No, I didn't. And I've actually told this story on air.
Have you?
Yeah, I have actually told the story on air, because I was actually at the at Government House. It was around Idaho Day, and the Victorian Governor held a reception for the LGBTI community. It was a fantastic reception. I mean, could you imagine? There were about 1,100 people packed in this beautiful, beautiful, stately environment, with the Governor making a lovely speech and a lovely presentation. There were trumpets blowing and all the regalia. We're all sitting around sipping our glasses of champagne and eating hors d'oeuvres, and all of a sudden this very glamorous 6-foot-tall blonde woman tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Hello, Taz." And I said hello, and I was very polite and shook hands, and I said, "I don't think we've met before."
I had a bit of fun with you.
You certainly did. And Kathy said, "Oh, look, you know, you don't recognise me." And of course I didn't recognise you.
Has that happened much, Kathy, where you've bumped into people you've known in the
old
days?
Oh, it has. Yeah. And some I'll introduce myself to, and others I'll just keep going.
Yeah.
And I'm really pleased you did that, because I feel like we've been able to now pick up our relationship and move on and take it into a different place. We're going to take a very short break again, and we'll be straight back. And I'd really like to go back into the conversation and explore some of your experience of transitioning and your experience before you actually came out, and some of the stuff that you had to go through through then. Great. So stay tuned, because you're listening to Saturday Magazine with Rhonda Galbally as my co-host, and our special guest this morning, Kathy Eccles, talking about her experience coming out as a trans person. And our very special guest, Kathy Eccles. And if you are listening and you'd like to actually send us some messages, whether they be supportive or constructively critical or very friendly, you can do so by texting us on 0427 569 949, or send us an email on onair@joy.org.au. And if you feel like actually calling, you can do that as well, but we don't have talkback capacity. Leave a message with our receptionist who will pass that on to us. 317, you're hilarious. I just got a message from 317 saying, Tass, that's a hilarious story. The one that I recounted about our meeting at Government House. Kathy, before you came out, when we spoke yesterday, you told me that you had actually experienced some depression. Can you tell us about that?
It was something that repeatedly hit me every decade or so for most of my life, and I couldn't put a finger on why. You know, sometimes there were other issues going on. You know, there was, in my teenage years, I lost a close friend and nearly died myself, and that was a struggle. And
so you're saying that you confused potentially your depression with perhaps grief?
Then when we had our first child, you know, that was a pretty tough time. There was some postnatal there, I think. But then...
And of course, that's not well known as being an issue that...
Yeah, I know.
Men may experience. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I found it pretty tough. And then in my mid-40s, I got hit with one that was just worse than the others. You know, I had achieved my goals in life, and from the outside looking in, I had the perfect life. You know, I had a lovely wife and lovely kids and a nice house and nice cars and a great business and good friends, and I could travel and...
And the holiday house, you told me.
And the holiday house as well, yeah. But I was incredibly empty and lonely and sad, and I couldn't really put a finger on it. And my marriage started to drift apart, which was even compounded the sadness. And so then I went and found some help.
So what was the trigger point?
Oh, there was actually quite a funny trigger point. We had a corporate function, and it was an ABBA night. And my brother and I were going together, we're partners. And the lady at the costume shop suggested, well, why don't you go as Anita and Frieda? And my brother's a bit...
You mean ABBA?
Yeah, yeah. And my brother's a bit of a card, and he goes, oh, so let's do that. And so we argued over who was going to be the blonde, and I won. I wasn't going to lose that argument. And I had such a fabulous night.
Well, you are naturally a blonde.
I am, yeah. So I had such a fabulous night, and some of the photos from it I kept showing people. And one of my co-directors made a comment once, because she was a bit appalled by the whole thing, what do you keep showing people this for? It's like you're proud of it. And so it suddenly clicked. I am proud of myself. And so that sort of started things off as well. It was a bit of fun.
Edward's just written in saying, congratulations, Kathy, for sharing your story with us all, and thank you for your support.
Oh, hello, Edward. Edward is the guy that came to Miami with me.
Oh, I see. You know,
so
Edward.
He's,
there you go.
He's instrumental. Edward. He's instrumental in our diversity program at Blue Cross.
Fantastic. So so you've talked a bit about some of the trigger points that actually got you to seeking help. And what happened then? What sort of support did you have?
Well, I had a wonderful therapist for a start, so that helped a lot. Then I started to meet people within the community. So cross-dressers and Seahorse helped, and other transgendered people. I started travelling to Sydney to get involved in events up there as well. You know, I had to go there for a bit of work occasionally, and so I'd combine things, of course. And I just started making friends and becoming more comfortable with myself and understanding myself better. And it's not, it wasn't a light switch. It took some time.
Mm-hmm.
It's my journey.
And
just,
so,
can I just say how much I really appreciate those groups like Seahorse? They're just so...
Oh, they're wonderful.
So fabulous. Yeah. And they've been going... I can remember first coming across Seahorse in 1980.
Oh, it's 40 years old.
Yeah, amazingly important groups.
And they used to meet in Altona.
They live on the smell of an oily rag. They need more money. All those groups, yeah. Mm. Anyway, I don't want to divert.
I think support groups are an important part
really
of...
Really important part.
Certainly our community's experience, really, much more broadly. I wanted to just go back a bit, and when we were talking about this, you said that your earliest memories...
Yeah, my earliest memories go back to about 5 years old at primary school.
Wow.
Yeah, and... there were days where they'd have dress-ups and they'd bring out a box of clothes and I would run and grab the girls' clothes. And I think after a couple of weeks of doing this, I noticed that the teachers were whispering to each other and looking at me with a smile on their face. And some of the girls were getting a bit upset that I was grabbing the dress and the one that they wanted. And I realised that it was socially unacceptable. And
how did you work that out?
I don't know. I mean, kids are smart. I realised that it wasn't acceptable. And so that's really what started me going into a closet. And it started a cycle of repression and denial. And I didn't talk to anyone about it. And there was no internet in those days either, so I didn't have a name for it. It was just something within me that I, from that point on, really ignored. Even though every day I'd wish I'd wake up the next day as a woman.
It's interesting to wonder what it would have been like if it had just been ordinary and accepted and, you'd been sort of helped.
Oh, I would have transitioned at 6 years old. Mm. I would have had a different life.
Yeah.
Mm.
So it was never, ever a doubt in your mind that you were a woman?
In retrospect, no, but at the time it was repressed and denied.
Yeah.
And not understood and not researched and not spoken to anybody about. And the brain's an amazing, amazing piece of equipment that denial can be so absolute.
So from a very early age, from the age of about 5 or 6, you were driven into the closet.
Yeah.
And then you spent the next, 20, 30, 40 years of your life in the closet. I'm not wanting to declare your age, of course.
Well, yeah, you're being very kind to me.
So you spent the next number of decades in the closet.
Yeah.
So what did that mean? Did that mean that you had this other little life that was different
to a degree. So, I would dress in private when I had the opportunity. But the other way of handling it was to throw myself into work and sport and just be in always busy. So in my 20s and 30s it was sport and it was a 6-day-a-week obsession of basketball and running and riding and motorcycle racing and gym work, which made me really fit, which was a good byproduct of it, and I had a lot of fun. I carry a few injuries because of it now. And then from 30s into 40s, it was work. And, I threw myself into work, which, again, has its benefits, but it also meant I wasn't there for my kids as much as I should have been.
Mm. So, looking forward, what's happening in your life now? What's important to you?
Well, first of all, I'm really happy. So, and because I've discovered that I actually do love myself, it's opened up a range of emotions that I've not been able to utilise before, and they're all good. So I can enjoy other people's company and love other people better and enjoy emotions like bliss and happiness. So I'm enjoying life and getting out there and meeting people and doing things and going out to dinner and going shopping and travelling and...
Just being a person,
yeah. And then just enjoying being quiet at home and cooking, cleaning. Cleaning wears thin pretty quick.
you pay to get that done.
Yeah. And, you know, I've met a new... There's a new person in my life, and she's wonderful. And we moved into a new house together a few months ago, and so that's really helping complete my new journey, and we're looking forward to our future together.
Sounds fantastic. Mm. Sounds fantastic. So there'll be a lot of people out there who are listening to this, and we've had some great feedback, who'll be probably interested in... how you actually manage to come out of this journey and, you know, be positive and blissful and content and happy. What advice do you have for some of our listeners out there?
It's a tough journey, but you can't give up. And you've just got to keep at it, little bit by little bit, try not to get too discouraged at the times when you do get lonely, or you can't find the courage to get out of the house. So just find those support networks that you can, whoever those people are in your life, and reach out to them.
Mm. Sounds like it's a story about being really true to yourself.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Yep.
Mm. And... what about groups? Are there any particular groups that you would encourage any of our listeners who are exploring transitioning to participate in or make contact with?
Seahorse was helpful to me. Transgender Victoria is always good to reach out to. If you're a younger person, well, minus 18 is another group. Really, it's just, you know, do an internet search, and these days it's not hard to find the groups that are out there. And
the internet really has changed things, hasn't it?
It's changed the world, of course. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. The other thing that I'd like to throw in is that if any of our listeners out there are wishing to discuss this with anybody, I would strongly encourage you to call Switchboard, who's our community's telephone and online support service. It provides information, referral, and some counselling. The other points of contact that I would recommend would be Lifeline and of course, a Beyond Blue support service. Kathy, we really appreciate you coming into the studio this morning. Thank you very much for being open and being prepared to tell your story. Congratulations on achieving what you've achieved, both personally and professionally, and we wish you all the best going forward.
Thanks very much, Taz. Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you for coming into the studio.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.